Well, this morning we just want to enter in the best way we possibly can into an Advent season, into a season that really for us as the people of God is an incredible opportunity in the space of worship and our walk with Jesus, but can get so incredibly run over and taken over by the cultural ideas and just the insanity of Advent. This season can be for us in our normal kind of January to December year, one of the busiest seasons of life, especially if you have family or young kids. There's choir presentations, and there's work parties, and there's gifts to buy, and there's credit card limits that are skyrocketing, and it's just Advent kind of can become more stressful and overwhelming than anything else. And that for us as the people of God is a great tragedy, because Advent is really this season that marks the waiting or the anticipation of Christ's coming. And if you look at sort of what would have been the days of the original Advent before Jesus is born, we run into characters like John the Baptist, right, who the Holy Spirit comes upon and gives this ministry of preparation. He actually picks up a prophetic word that speaks of him from Isaiah, saying that like one who comes in the wilderness to prepare a way for the Lord. And so in the season of Advent, we want to enter into those same rhythms, those same places of recognizing that we stand today in great need of Jesus, but often there's parts of our hearts that maybe need to take stock and get a little bit honest with our reality, with the space we're in, and for certainly for all of us to just come present, which can be a real challenge in the season of Advent, but one that I want to really encourage you in. Advent is the first season in what we call the church year. And so we have sort of like a Christian year that we walk as Anglicans. And the purpose of that church year was it was developed over time as the church lived life together as a way to live our lives inside the gospel, inside the good news of Jesus that has saved us and transforms our life. And so the church year follows the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. And it kind of goes right through to his coming again, which we celebrated on Christ the King Sunday last week. The rhythm of our lives can be shaped around all kinds of things. And certainly it is, and not even in a bad way. We have lots of rhythms. I feel like we have these moments. I feel like I'm constantly coming to these moments on Sundays where we're starting. It's a new season. So like September, right? We come out of summer and school starts. So I think it feels like, here we go. It's a new beginning. And then Advent. And then we're almost to New Year's Day, right, in a new year, and we've got these rhythms that happen in our lives, right? For some of us, you know, our birthdays feel that way. We get to our birthdays and we feel like, oh, it's a new year, and we have these rhythms in our lives where we kind of walk through wedding anniversaries and, you know, sports. If you're on teams, there's a rhythm to those seasons of play, of rest, of training. But as Christians, as those who follow Jesus, it makes sense that we would want the primary dictator of our rhythm to be the gospel. That the thing that that shapes our lives the most and that leads us in our lives is the gospel of Jesus. Partly because we know it to be the power of God unto salvation. Not only once, but throughout our lives as we're sanctified and made more and more like Jesus. And we come, and so we have rhythms here at the church that we follow, particularly around the Lord's table, right? Where every week we come back together, and certainly the rhythms for the church around the gospel started there. We see already in the book of Acts that Sunday becomes a day of worship. It becomes the Lord's day, a day when they celebrate the resurrection. And so we come together on Sundays and we worship and we celebrate the resurrection, and it's a rhythm for us weekly that culminates around the Lord's table where we come and we enter into the good news of the gospel together. Over time, the feasts of the church began to kind of develop and grow over the early years of the church, and they began to set aside concentrated time, specific time to celebrate especially the incarnation at Christmas and the resurrection at Easter. And those things start to develop, and then over time they kind of got it so that it landed on an annual basis. And the church just kind of put it in this annual rhythm so that every year, everyone from the youngest to the oldest would live through the story of the gospel in an intentional way. And so today we start a new year. And I was looking back on our stuff from last year's Advent. We had Bishop Mike here. He wasn't a bishop yet. He was just Father Mike. And he was here. And I remember him saying, actually, when I pulled the slides up, it said right in the front, Happy New Year, church. And it just kind of reminded me, right, here we go. We're starting into this incredible story again. And so we celebrate together Advent. And I'm going to get you to, Heather, if you could put up the first picture there. Our church year can get kind of looked at and thought about in a few ways. This would be a very detailed calendar for the church year. And so if you look right at the very top, what would be on a normal clock, like 12 o'clock, that's the start of the year. And it rolls through like a clock. And so the first of the blue there is Advent into Christmas, and then it keeps going. This is a really beautiful calendar, and there's actually, if you're really into this stuff and interested, you can let me know. I can send you the link. It costs you a couple bucks, but it's a beautiful calendar that you can kind of work through, and the images and things are really beautiful. I can get you the link for that. But if you can go to the next slide, I've got a bit of a simpler one there broken down, and we'll look through this together really quick. So as we live into the gospel and as we live into the church year together, we start today with Advent. And so the church year begins, and you'll see that we change the liturgical colors when we walk through different parts of the year. And part of the reason is because God made us with all kinds of senses, right? We see and we touch and we feel and all of these things. And if you talk to like neurobiologists, it's actually incredible how much these things impact us, how helpful they are for us in helping us to enter into things, right? And so I was having this conversation with Alexandra last week. She came and she said, what is with the color? Because last week was Christ the King Sunday, and so I was wearing white. And as a child, she recognized that, and she wanted to know why. She was pretty much saying, that's usually green. Why is it white, right? And so we sat and we talked about the colors. And I love that the colors change because they help to kind of grab our attention and pull us in. When I walked in this morning, I was here a little bit later today, and I walked in and everything was purple. And it just, it grabbed my heart, right? Because I can feel the change. And that change or that color becomes in my person connected to the season. So now after many years of walking this rhythm, when I walk in and it's purple, there's more that actually happens in me than just a mental reminder that it's Advent, right? Other things kind of get stirred up in me. And this is certainly true for our children. And so even if it wasn't helpful for any of us, I think the colors are incredibly helpful for our kids. They connect to these things in a really beautiful way. Purple in Advent will also be the color when we come to Lent, is a color that brings us into a place and a posture of preparation. It's about repentance. It's about getting right. And if you remember John the Baptist, his message was what? It was repent, for the kingdom is at hand, right? The preparation looked like Christ is coming, get ready, right? And part of the get ready might be getting right. Like if some things aren't right, set them right. And so the purple, as much as it brings us into the season, it also brings us into a posture and reminds us of repentance and of preparation and of waiting actively. Advent then moves into the season of Christmas, and I was very excited when I came into the Anglican Way because I love Christmas, and I found out that, you ever heard that song, The 12 Days of Christmas? That's because in the church year, Christmas is 12 days long, and I thought, well, that's good. Because usually Christmas for me is only one day, and half of it I'm in a turkey coma, so I miss it. So now we've got 12 days to celebrate Christmas together, and so you come through Advent, you spend all this time preparing, all this time waiting, all this time anticipating. I love that then you've got near 2 weeks to celebrate, not just 24 hours that kind of flies by and immediately gets run over by Boxing Day. So we've got Advent into Christmas. Christmas turns into Epiphany, which is celebrated on January 6th, the day of Epiphany, every year. And the Epiphany, we remember that the gospel came, that Christ didn't just come for some people. He didn't just come for one nation or one culture. We remember that the wise men came from afar. And that the gospel, it shows us, the gospel was an epiphany, a revelation for the entire world. And so we celebrate that on the day of Epiphany, but then enter into a first season there of the green, which is the time of Epiphany, or the season of Epiphany. Also, the green portions are often referred to as ordinary time. Now, it's not ordinary time because it's boring and plain. The word ordinary there referring back to the ordinal. that we walk through then the lectionary that we're in. But there is a way in which the word ordinary kind of makes sense, and I kind of like it. Because in those seasons, which you look at the picture, most of it's green. More of it's green than the rest, right? And isn't that true of our lives? Lots of our lives are just lived in the everyday. The raising of children, the going to work, the working through our retirement, the switching of seasons, sickness, health, these all, we kind of go through just the normal day-to-day. And it's learning in those seasons to intentionally live in the gospel and let it touch and shape our lives, right? So not only on feast days, but throughout the everyday. Epiphany then ends and culminates with the season of Lent. And Lent starts, you can kind of see it there if you've got good eyesight. If I look through the top of my glasses, I can see it, but not the bottom. We were all making fun of my progressives last week. The Ash Wednesday service starts off Lent. And so we come together and we remember that from dust we came and to dust we return. That we are mortal, that we stand in need of a Savior. And that without him, there is no life eternal. There's no abundant life. And so we come into Ash Wednesday, and it brings us to this very honest place that then leads us into a season of preparation again, a season of repentance and preparing ourselves for what is then the Holy Week. And the Holy Week there is marked on this calendar in red. Usually we walk through that Holy Week just with purple still, but the idea being that we walk through Palm Sunday starts that week, and then we have Thursday is Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday. And then it all culminates on the Sunday at the end of that, which is Resurrection Sunday, when we celebrate together the resurrection of our Lord. And again, you'll see there have an even longer season. Praise God, Easter isn't one day. And we spend over 40 days celebrating very intentionally after having waited and connected with our longings, celebrating the good news that Christ is no longer in the ground, that the stone has been rolled away, that he has triumphed over death. And then after 40 days, we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. And it's one of the very few times that the colors are red. And I love it when it's red. Every time I see the red, I just get excited. And so you'll often see red being this color that signals to us the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so we use that color at Pentecost Sunday. But we will also use it on services like confirmation. When we had our confirmation service the other day, it was red. When we have ordinations, so when Sarah was ordained as a deacon, the color was red. Because the primary prayer in those places is that the Holy Spirit would come and that he would fill and empower us to walk out the call of God on us as his people. Finally, then, we enter into the longest season of the church year, which is the season after Pentecost, the time after Pentecost, or a longer season of ordinary time. A season of Advent, then, if we come back, then, to starting into the year and to wanting to start into it well, to really give ourselves to this story and to let it shape our rhythms and our lives. Advent is a season of, I like to think of it this way, a season of active or intentional waiting. It reminds me a little bit of children, or when I was a kid, and how they are when the presents start to pile up under the tree, right? Because the presents start to pile up long before they get to open them. And they sit there, and you can watch kids around that just buzzing with anticipation, right? But what's beautiful about the anticipation is, especially if they've grown up in a good, solid home, they're not worried. Like, they're excited, they're maybe a bit impatient, they're eager, they anticipate, but they're not worried that they're not going to get to open the presents. There's a confidence in them that they know they're going to get to open those. That's part of why they're so excited. Right? Can we do it now? I used to try and pull all kinds of deals to get one open early, right? Can we open them now? No, we can't open them now. And there's this growing anticipation. We have to wait. You have to wait till Christmas. And I just, we gotta, you know. And the closer it gets and the more that it piles up. And then, of course, really close to Christmas, a lot of the time, somebody pulls out the one that's just like wrapped weird and shaped and like giant. And the anticipation goes even higher because now you're like, what is that? Like, you know. Trying to get under the tree and shake them, see if you can figure out what they are. There's just this growing anticipation, but there's not a fear that then Christmas Day is going to come and somebody's going to say, ha ha, and throw them all away and you're not going to open them. There's a confidence in the waiting, right? So I think it's a great kind of picture of Advent. Another picture that's been used a lot for Advent that I really love, and many of you will relate to in our community, is that of the 9 months of pregnancy. Of having, just waiting for the birth of a child. And this is a beautiful analogy, partly because in the original Advent, this is a part of the story, isn't it? Mary with child and waiting, and all the kind of story and the things that happen for her, for Zechariah, like Elizabeth's husband, for all these you've got all these different people that are waiting, but they're waiting with a confidence, right? And so the waiting isn't just sort of a sitting and staring at the wall. There's a preparation in it. We get ready. I remember we've got a great book that I can give you the title for if you're interested too. I think it's called Circle of the Seasons. Some of you have read it. And the woman who wrote it and talks about the whole church year talks about her pregnancy that way. And how in her one pregnancy, she wasn't intentional about her preparation. She was very busy and maybe a little bit anxious about being a mom. And so the whole 9 months go by, and then all of a sudden she's having a baby and they're not ready. And so they're scrambling in the first days of the baby's life. They're having to get everything pulled together. And her encouragement was that how much better would it be if we took that time to be quiet and still, to prepare our hearts. And so we even do practical things, right, like paint nurseries and build cribs and, you know, have baby showers. And there's things that we do to actively prepare our hearts so that when the baby's born, we can be as present as possible in that season. We can really just spend our energy, our attention, welcoming this child into the world and enjoying them and caring for them and meeting their needs, right? Advent's very much the same way. It's a season of waiting, and one in which I encourage you, and I think the Gospels call us to be really attentive, to be really intentional. And so this is why we create opportunities like what we are Tuesday night, spaces where we can choose to do to go to a prayer room and just spend some quiet time in the presence of the Lord when there's 100 other things we could do. There's an intentionality about just preparing. You could do things with your kids, like get one of these Advent wreaths and candles and set it up on your table at home and light that candle each day with the kids and go those through. But just bringing everybody into these intentional places is a real gift and an important thing, because we enter in and we wait, but we also get to realize that as the light gets brighter and brighter, there's a hope, a confidence, an anticipation gets higher and higher. We're waiting with confident hope. We're waiting in prayerful reflection. And so the season of Advent has always been marked by prayer and scripture reading. And just being in that space quietly, without being in a hurry and setting aside intentional space. We live in that space with generosity because it postures our heart in a season and in a world that is often so self-serving and so concerned with our own needs, towards a posture of looking out and partnering with Christ, living out of the hope that we have and the confident hope that we have. And ultimately, in Advent, this is the piece that I want us to look at over the next couple weeks. Is that in Advent, really, it's this reminder that often we as the people of God are called to learn and to grow in our ability to sit well with promise. The birth of Jesus was prophesied over and over again. Much of the Old Testament, including the reading that we had read for us this morning from Zechariah, speaks of God coming, right? He's coming. And there's all kinds of different ways that the Lord speaks through the prophets to speak this promise into the heart of God's people. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to stay in those Old Testament passages, and we're going to look at a few of those prophetic promises and just look and realize the promise was in the hearts and the lives of God's people. They were, or should have been, waiting eagerly, like a kid at the Christmas tree, or like a family waiting for the birth of a child. And we'll culminate on this whole journey on Christmas Eve when we'll look at Simeon and Anna, who are two of my favorites, who were actively waiting. Right? And so as we enter into this space, we recognize that there's prophetic promise, but one of the things that I've noticed about promise in my life is that promise is really exciting right up front. But then it gets really difficult to sit with the longer I have to wait. It gets harder and harder, especially to live with or to hold it confidently. And especially if I'm not intentional about holding it. So if I just kind of have it there, and I know it, but I get busy and distracted and overwhelmed and kind of taken away, I can completely lose sight or hold on the promise. And I believe that God wants promise. This is part of why he's given the gift of prophecy, why the prophetic comes into play. And in Advent, we're remembering that Christ came. Advent, taken from the Latin word for coming, right? That Christ came, and we remember, and our hope is stirred by that. And we celebrate, and we worship. But we also come present to the places right now today where I'm waiting, where I'm holding on to promise, where I'm praying and I'm longing to see God move, right? Maybe it's in my life, maybe it's in the life of a loved one, maybe when Emily led us in prayer today, you lifted up some names of those who don't know Jesus. There's these places where we're waiting and we're praying. And in Advent, we sit and we come present to those things and we lift them up to God and we hold the promises of God in light of the faithfulness of God in the season of Advent. But we also, as a people of God, I pray that more and more I be marked by a hope and an anticipation for his coming again. That there's a promise that Christ will come again, and when he does, he will set everything right in its entirety. For me, for you, for the city, for creation. And so Advent is this beautiful season, and we have these promises. Christ was so clear, and then so clear through the writers of the New Testament, he's coming again. Paul was wanting us to make sure we never forgot that, and to be shaped by it, and to live in that expectation. And certainly the book of Revelation, as John is given his revelation, just speaks these confident promises that Christ will return, that there is a new heaven, a new earth, that things are going to be set right. And I love that. And even as I share it right now, I can see it on your faces. You're encouraged. This is good news, right? But we have to be honest about how well or not we do with holding promise. Because I think as the people of God, certainly in light of the ascension, in this now and not yet, we're called to a pretty tricky thing, which is to live with promise. And to live with promise, and so to be marked by faith, to be a people of hope, to be a confident people, even when the promise seems to be getting further away. I think that's when it's hardest to hold on to. Right? It's when mom and dad sit you down and they pull out the calendar and don't just say, no, not yet, but show you how many days. Oh man, I can't wait that long, right? And it gets harder and harder to hold on to promise. But friends, you're invited into that space and to live in that space with peace, with confidence, to let your heart. And so this is, I think, this is one of the ways in which living in Advent, as we talked about the church here, can shape our lives, right? Can speak to us as we come present to the Lord and we let our longings, our waitings be known to him. The way has been prepared. Christ has come. Christ is coming, and he will come again. And we get to wait together with anticipation. But just before we pray and come to the Lord's table, let me just point your attention back to Zechariah 14, the scripture that was written, or that was read for us today. In it, Christ's coming is heralded. And you right at the end, we all kind of feel as this passage was read, a bit of, you even heard Catherine as she read it, her inflection changed when she got to the final verse because there's some relief in it. The first part of these verses is a little hard to read, isn't it? It's a little like there's going to be all this trouble and darkness and war, and like you're like, oh my goodness. So you're really excited when verse 9 says, and the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day, the Lord will be the one, and his name one. This is, oh, okay, praise God, right? But I think what we need to recognize is that first, Zechariah 14, verses 1 to 9, prophesies to us what is called the day of the Lord. And there's a reality in the scriptures, I talked about this at our conference at length, but that the day of the Lord is incredibly good news for those who are humbly waiting under the lordship of Jesus. But it's an incredibly scary day for those who are not. And I think it's worth recognizing that in the original Advent, when John the Baptist brought the message, it was incredibly good news, a beautiful invitation. But hear the language of it. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. There's a call to get ready, because in the incarnation, Christ comes with such peace. He comes so gently as a child, right? He comes as an infant, humbly into this world. But don't miss the reality that the creator of the universe comes present in that moment to the world. And there's this unfortunate thing that's pointed out in John's gospel, that he came to his own and his own did not know him. Right. That come the coming of Christ, there should be a sober and healthy, right way in which we realize, I need to get ready. Because Christ wants to come and he wants to move in my life. And so it doesn't make sense for me to ignore this piece of my life. To not open up and be ready and available here. To be so busy that he could do anything and I'd totally miss it. And so the prophetic promise is spoken into our lives in many ways to say, heads up. And to call us into a natural response, which is to say, okay, well, let's get ready. I remember speaking to some of you about when we would have home church gatherings for so many years, and there's been these little jokes between a few of us that when it stopped, they said, this isn't good because my house might never get cleaned. Right? This idea that every couple weeks I cleaned my house because people were coming over, right? And there's this beautiful thing about that, that when we're bringing people to host them, we know someone's coming, we get ready. Right? You've never showered so fast as when someone texted to say, I'll be there in 10 minutes, right? We get ready. There's a natural response to the promise. And my prayer today as we head into Advent and through this Advent season, looking at the prophetic promises of Christ's incarnation, that there would be this thing birthed in us, this anticipation would be fueled again. Like breathed on the fire, the Lord would breathe on the fire of that. That we would get more and more to the point where we wake up every day anticipating that Christ has come. That he wants to meet us here today. That he wants to move in spaces and in places of our lives and our hearts and our city. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for the good news of the gospel. Thank you for your faithfulness to us and that you came. That you humbled yourself and like light came into the darkness. That Jesus, you came like light into my darkness. Thank you that when light came into the darkness did not overcome it. And I pray that the remembrance of that, that the beautifully good news of that would shape our hearts as we head into this Advent season, particularly as it relates to the dark places of our lives, of our world, of our city, the places of longing that have become numb. Spaces, Lord, where we've become a bit drifted or detached. Would you speak by your Spirit now and throughout this Advent season the promises of God over us? And by your Spirit, soften our hearts to be able to hear them, receive them, and to grapple with them. And even now, Lord, as we lift our hearts up to you at the beginning of this Advent season, and we prepare to make our confession, we ask that this season would be one of being made ready for the day of the Lord, for these moments and places and ways in which you want to come, to move in power, to shape and change our lives. And so, friends, I give you a moment now for private confession. And to take this moment to just enter into Advent in a posture of active waiting, a posture of anticipation, a posture of preparation.